And we hope that while you're here, you see a group of God's people follow God's word. I turn to my Bible to Matthew chapter 7. If you want to follow along this morning, we'll spend several moments there together. Matthew chapter 7. I invite you to follow along there. If you're at one of those days at the office or at work where it just seems like nothing could go right, one of my very favorite books growing up, and I forget all the words that go with it, but Alexander is very good, no good, horrible, very bad day, or whatever that goes. And it seems like that was my Friday here at the office. You can tell that we had some printer problems, and so you get kind of a tie-dye, just keeping your eyes guessing with either black and white or the color today, we don't know. So you have a printer problem bulletin this morning, and that's my apologies for that. We also had internet problems, so I spent quite a few time texting with Jared trying to get that fixed, and it finally fixed itself. And then I had an afternoon and a weekend looking for all my notes on evolution that we're going to talk about tonight in our new questions class, and I told Brooke, I don't think I can just start over on all my notes. And I finally found it was right next to the printer. I had moved my notes to fix the printer, and I didn't know where I put my notes. But that day is over, and I am thankful for that. I'm also thankful that you are here with us this morning. One of my favorite home renovation shows, it's over now, but it is great while it lasted, is Fixer Upper. Chip and Joanna Gaines, I call Chip Gaines kind of my spirit animal. If you know him, he is just hard worker but loves to have fun. I read his book that he had out, and I felt like he was talking directly to me. He's just one of a kind, and he was just an awesome guy to watch on TV. If you don't know who Chip and Joanna Gaines are, they're from the show Fixer Upper. You also have probably seen, at least you husbands have probably had to pull your wives away from a lot of their decorations and stores like Target and all these furniture stores and all these things going on. But it was just a wonderful show. And I love those shows because, especially that show, because they do something that I think is real interesting. As you can tell by the name of the show, Fixer Upper, what they would do is they would walk into this old, rundown house, and they would have people choose from a couple of these old houses that obviously needed to be fixed up. They weren't everybody's dream home. They would be the home that if you're searching through Zillow or Realtor.com, you would pass over just by looking at the front of the house. You don't even want to see the inside because it's horrible. You're done looking. Well, they would walk into these homes and they would come up with a plan. They would take these homes that are falling apart and outdated, and they would, by the time they're done, they would make them into everyone's dream home. They would just totally transform these homes and fix them up into something that was unrecognizable. And they would not only fix the house and all the problems that came along with it, but they would decorate and they would paint, they would make it look beautiful. If you're anything like me, you watch these kinds of shows. And that's not the only show that's like this. That's one of my favorites. But if you watch any of these shows, you kind of get to the end of the episode, and if you're a guy, I know you're thinking this, you start thinking, I need that. And I know that you thought that before, because as soon as I said that, I saw several of you guys start thinking, yeah, I've been there. We get to the end of those fixer-upper shows, and we say, I think I want to tackle a project, right? You know what those shows don't show you is the weeks and months of demolition, of tearing down and getting rid of everything that is bad in those homes, of all the inspections, because inspections are boring. Someone has to come in and inspect before they do the work. When the work is finished, they have to inspect if the work is done right. They don't show all that on TV. I'm sure they don't show the arguments between workers or even between people maybe like Chip and Joanna, husband and wife, who are maybe differing on their opinions on how to decorate or what wall to knock out or whatever it is. They don't show that stuff. What's most important is showing the old becoming new. Because they want us to think, I want to do that. Or I want to be on a show like that. I want a new house. I want that. And I think what's happened is our families have become a lot like those TV shows. Those TV shows have a goal of giving everyone their dream house. Think about the house that you pictured as a young child as you were growing up, and you were going to buy a home one day. You had a dream house. The typical scene you get is a white house with a red door and a white picket fence around it with the green lawn so the kids can play. Everyone has their dream house, right? Well, what's happened is our families have sort of become like what we've seen on TV. We all have a dream family in our minds. Maybe you were growing up as a young child and you were just dreaming of what your family would be like one day. You're going to have the perfect spouse. You're going to have the perfect children. You're going to have the perfect life. There would never be any problems between you and your spouse, never any marital problems, never any arguments, never any fights. There would never be any betrayal because we love each other. There would never be any health issues. There would never be any kids that disobey. There would never be any kids that walk away from the faith. There would never be any money problems. Because in our dreams, we don't think that things would ever have to be fixed. But we all know that when the reality of life hits, as life happens, things start to decay. Things start to deteriorate. What was once a dream home starts to become a picture-upper. What was once your dream family starts to become something that is so unrecognizable. If someone was shopping for your family on Zillow, they would pass over you in a heartbeat. Your family has become a picture-upper. And as life happens, we begin making excuses, maybe for why our lives aren't living up to the standards that we once had. We start accepting that life is hard, it's difficult. That the success I once thought my family could have, it's unattainable. We cannot reach that standard. And so before too long, our dream home that we thought of for so long has slowly transformed into something that's so unrecognizable. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at some home improvements that might need to happen. But what I need all of us to do, myself included, as we go through these studies, is we need to ask ourselves how many of us are willing to admit that our family might need some fixing. Have you ever lived in a home so long? Maybe this describes your home. Have you ever lived in your home so long that the things that are falling apart or that are broken or that need fixing or need sprucing up or need painting, they almost become unrecognizable to you? Because you see it every day? And then someone might point it out to you. You say, hey, I never saw that wall needed a touch up of paint. I never saw that floorboard was loose down there. Pass by every day, I never noticed it. I never noticed there was a scratch right here on the floor. And I just walk through here every day and I still don't. That's what happens to our families. Before too long, we just keep going through life and it looks all these things that are going wrong and our families are falling apart. We just stop noticing them because, well, it's just been too long. Are we willing to admit? This is something we all need to answer. Are we willing to admit that our families need some fixing? But on a much deeper note, spiritually, we need to do the same thing. How many of us are willing to admit that our spiritual lives might need some fixing as well? How many of us are willing to admit that even our church family might need some fixing as well? In thinking about these sermons for the next couple of weeks through the month of October, and looking at some of these home improvement ideas, I had in mind several different things. One is our families. There's going to be lessons in here on our families and what we can do to help fix our families. There's going to be lessons on how to fix our spiritual lives and the improvements we need to make in our spiritual life. But there's also going to be things like our church family. Because after all, heaven is our home and we're going to spend eternity together. There might need to be some improvements that we need to make with each other. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 7 if you haven't done so already. It's a familiar story to all of us. In fact, we went over this with our kids this last summer in PBS. It's a very basic story. It doesn't take much thought to get what Jesus is trying to talk about here in these last few verses of the Sermon on the Mount. But in Matthew 7, verse 24, as he's concluding his entire sermon, everything he's talked about through chapters 5 and 6 and 7, he says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and they beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." Here you have these two men. I don't know why I always picture this in my mind like this, but I just do. I have these two men, and they're building a house right next to each other. Let's just assume that. And as they're building these houses right next to each other, one is building the foundation on the foundation of rock, something that's solid. And the other is building this foundation on the sand. I always, again, I don't know why I picture this, but I always just associate sand with the beach. And I picture him building a beachfront home. Well, the other one might be back just a little ways from the beach, a little more solid of a foundation. And as they build these houses, I want you to imagine just for a moment, they're building their dream houses. They're getting to pick out all the appliances. They're getting to pick out what kind of tile they want, what kind of flooring they want. They're getting to pick out what kind of do they want brick? Do they want paneling? They're getting to pick everything out. This is their dream house. The only difference is where they decided to build. And then Jesus says the winds came and the floods came and the rain came. It says they beat against the house. And again, I just get this, almost like what we saw this past week with Hurricane Michael. You just get this large amount of wind and waves and rain just beating up against these houses over and over and over again. And it says when the storm was all said and done, one house was still standing. And we know that to be the house that was built on the rock, the solid foundation. The other, it fell. And Jesus takes it one step further. He says, "And great was its fall." I want you to think about your faith. We are all, every single person who's here this morning, we are all building a house. It might not be a physical house with decisions of brick or paneling, appliances or flooring, but we are all building our families. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. It doesn't matter if you're a child who's living in a home or if you're an adult who are raising children. It doesn't matter if you have children out of the house. It doesn't matter who you are. We all have families. It might just be you and your spouse. You might have kids. Your kids might be grown and gone. You might be widowed. You might live all alone. Regardless of where you are in your life, we are all building a spiritual house. Every day we wake up with choices, not of brick or paneling, but we make choices on whether or not I will serve God today. Every day we wake up with a choice, if you're a parent, on whether or not I'm going to teach my children to serve God today. And as we go throughout our days, we are faced with choices, moment after moment after moment, on whether or not I will let my light shine, on whether or not I will follow God's will. We are building every single moment of every single day, even sitting here this morning, listening to this sermon, we are building the spiritual makeup of our lives and our families. And the most important thing in that is what we are building upon. You could be building your dream home, your dream family, the family you've always dreamed of since you were a little boy or a little girl. You may have that dream family here right now. But I will say this, if we get one thing from what Jesus is saying, if our house, if that dream house is built on the sand of the world, great will be its fall. What are we building our spiritual house on? When I was a sophomore at Florida College, they had, over the summer, torn down one of the old dorm buildings. They were building one of the brand new boys' dormitories. didn't seem like for months. Months. We would wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning hearing these big old, I don't even know what they're called, and they were pile driving these pylons into the ground. And it was the loudest sound. It was metal on metal, so it just was all morning. And as a college student, we were up till 2 or 3 in the morning. And at 6 in the morning, the last thing you want to hear are these big tractors driving these pillars into the ground. And it was months. And I'm not exaggerating. 2 or 3 months of just over and over again, these things being driven into the ground, these big, tall, I don't even know what they were made of, being driven deep into the ground. And so all you heard throughout all campus, and it was right in the middle of campus, so girls on one side of campus, they woke up hearing it, boys on the other side of campus, they woke up hearing it, and you just heard ding, 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 over and over, and it was the most annoying thing in the world. And they constantly had to remind us, we would all go to chapel every day, and they would constantly remind us, they're almost done, they're almost done, they're almost done. No, they're not. You said that a month ago. They're not almost done. But you see, what they were doing was so vitally important to the rest of the project. What all the students and the faculty at the school were excited about was the dormitory going up. We wanted to see the new building. We wanted to see the new dorm. It was going to be beautiful. It was going to be pretty. And it is. It's done now, thankfully. It took long enough. But what they were doing was, in Florida, there's a lot of sand. Lots of sand. And this really fine white powder. And to build, what they had to do was just dig these pylons so deep in the ground, because the foundation on that sand was so vitally important to build five or six stories up. If you didn't have that foundation, then that sand got wet, which in Florida gets wet about every day. That building would probably not be standing.
No.
And so it seemed like the longest part of the project was not building the beautiful building, but digging these pylons so far into the ground that when things like hurricanes hit Florida, that building's not going anywhere. What about your spiritual family? What about your family? What about you individually? We all focus on what goes up, the building that goes up. We want it to be pretty. We want it to be beautiful. We put on a face to make us look good when we're around other people. But what is that built on? Have you taken the time, and it may take a long time, but have you taken the time to dig those pylons so deep into God's Word, the foundation of rock, that when the winds come and life happens, as we were just read about in Matthew chapter 7, when life happens and you dug your pylons so deep in God's Word, that you're not going anywhere? See, the problem is, what we do is we build our foundation on all the wrong things. We build our foundations in all the wrong places. Sometimes we build our foundations on each other. And really, what I mean by this is, where have you put your priority in life? I want you to think, as I go through this list, I know I already put one up there, but as I go through this list, I want you to think about, if I were to take, or if you were to take one of these things away from your life, what would your life be like? If I were to take any one of these things on this list out from under you, would your life crumble like the house we just read about in Matthew 7? If it would, if that's the case, that means your foundation is built on one of these things. I'm not saying that you would hurt. If I take any one of these things away, as you'll see in a minute, it would hurt. But unfortunately, what we've done is we've built our foundation upon these things. Have you built your foundation on each other? Just somebody else. Might be a spouse. You built your foundation on your spouse. That they are the top priority. They're number one. Maybe it's your children. Have you built your foundation on your kids? Where everything revolves around them. We'll make sure we get them to every activity, whatever they want, whatever they say. Is that your foundation? We build our foundations on activities and hobbies all the time. We let our mood be dictated by what our activities and our hobbies do. Not to put salt in the wound, but Auburn lost yesterday. And I heard on the radio that there will be people that won't go to work tomorrow because they're still suffering from the loss yesterday. And I was pulling for Auburn. I'm not making a choice on Auburn and Alabama, but I was pulling for them. That's a lot of people's foundations in the world today. They hinge their entire life based on a hobby or activity, their kids or for each other. Sometimes we build our foundations on local churches. That whatever the local church says or does, that's where our foundation is. I've heard people give up their faith because the local church did something they didn't agree with. I've heard people give up on God because the local church split. The local church is just a group of people that are trying to follow God's word, hopefully. We don't build our foundation on the local church here at Marion Street. We build our foundation on God. On the church that Jesus Christ established. Even Jesus would say in the book of Matthew, on this rock, the foundation that He is, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, on this rock I will build my church. Even He built on rocks. But it wasn't the rock of a local body. It was the rock of His church. The fact that He is the Son of God. I would even add to this, some people, and I didn't add to this, some people build their foundations on the local preachers. I once heard of a lady who completely gave up her faith because the preacher that baptized her, she was an adult, but she was baptized, and she spent several years listening to it, and ended up having an affair. So she gave up her faith because that local preacher, obviously, everything he's ever taught her is a lie. That tells me her foundation was not in the right place. Her foundation was on a man, not on God. We build our foundations on ourselves. That we are what's most important in this life. What I say goes. It's my way or the highway. You look at this list, and I want you to think about this for a minute. I said at the beginning, and I'll say it again. If you were to take any one of these things out of your life, would your life crumble? I'm not saying it wouldn't hurt. But would your spiritual house be standing? Would your faith in God still be intact? That's the question. If we have built our spiritual house upon any one of these things, we have not built upon the rock. We've built on the wrong foundation. I love my spouse. I love my family. I love the people in my life. I love all of you. And you have all helped me in my journey with my relationship with God. But I hope and pray that my foundation and my faith in God is not built upon you. Why? Because you will fail me, and I will fail you. You will die, so will I. And if you're my foundation, what happens when you're gone? My house will crumble. I love my kids dearly. I love all three of them. And I'd like to think that if I were to lose any one of them, my faith in God would not waver. But they are not my foundation. I love the Brewers. They lost game one against the Brewers on Friday. We got in the car to go somewhere and Bert said, "You going to be okay?" I said, "I'm not going to let it ruin my day." They're not my foundation. I love this church. I love everybody in this church. I love what Mary and Christ stands for. I love what they stand for truth. I love that we try each and every day to live God's word. I love that we try each and every service to serve God to the best of our ability. But if one day this church were to close its doors and all of us are dead and gone and all of us decide to go other places, and I hope that never happens. I'm just using it as an example. If this church were to close its doors and we never meet again together, I hope that I'll still have my faith in God. And I hope I never get to the point where I am so into myself that I forget who actually made me. These are not the foundations to build our spiritual life upon, to build our families upon. And it's no wonder that when you look at all these foundations that we build upon, it's no wonder when you look at the foundation problems that we're having in families today, that we're having in churches today. When I bought my house, and this is what we're going to do right now, when I bought my house, Quinn came and inspected the house for me. And something he did was he got under the house and he crawled around and he looked at the foundation. And he came back up and said, "Foundation looks great." He said, "That's one of the most important things. Foundation looks great." I want you all to do a foundation check on your spiritual life right now. On your family right now. On this church family right now. Because when you look at all the problems, when you look at the winds and the waves and the rain that are crashing against our lives, against our church, against our families, it's no wonder if we're building on these foundations, it's no wonder that the foundation problems that we're having in life, we all have issues. Think about your family for a moment. I know we don't like to admit it, we don't like to talk about it, but families have issues. We have problems. We have difficult things we have to deal with and talk about. Marriages get stale. The person, that dream spouse you always thought you'd have for the rest of your life, marriages get stale. And unfortunately, it leads to so many marriages that break apart. Kids rebel. Kids question your authority as a parent. Kids leave the faith. Or what if they didn't rebel and you raised good, godly kids? And what, kids move out at some point? You want to know the highest 2% times of divorce in married couples? The highest percentages in divorce happen within the first 2 years. Because people realize this is not the person I thought I wanted to marry, so they divorce. The second highest time, when kids move out. When they're in their 50s. Couples are in their late 40s, early 50s. Kids are gone. And now that the kids move out, you may have raised good, godly kids that are serving the Lord and loving the Lord, but you've built your foundation upon them. Upon hobbies and activities. And what happens when they move out? We've lost each other. Relationships grow apart. Health starts to fade. Financial problems grow. These are the storms in life. That story we read in Matthew chapter 7, this is the rain, this is the wind, this is the flood. They come, and they come hard. And they hit when we least expect it. And if we have built on the wrong foundation, these things can tear families apart. They can tear spiritual families apart. They can tear churches apart. They can tear us away from God. And all these things are so real that there is probably not one of us who is looking at that list right now not doing at least one thing on that list. Because we all have wind and rain in our life. We all have storms that come. Have you done your foundation check? look at your foundation to make sure that when these things happen, your faith in God is still going to be intact? That your home, your house, this church, your family will still be intact, loving and serving the Lord? What if all these things happened? What if all those things on the previous slide were ripped away like it was with Job? Would we still be serving God? Our house, although tattered and worn, would still be standing. Notice again what it says in verse 24 of Matthew 7. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. To me, the most important thing in this passage is not where we build our house, which is the rock and that wise man, but it's that very first word, therefore. And I always have this saying, and if you've been in any of my classes long enough, you've heard me say it over and over again. If there's a therefore, what's it there for? That means we have to go back. Jesus is proving a point. He's using this story to prove a point that he just made a few verses before. And listen now to what he says in verse 21. So just go a few verses right before. And in verse 21, this is what he says. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Jesus is making one point very clear. The words that he is speaking, therefore whoever hears these sayings, some of your versions, hears these words of mine. Everything he has been speaking in the Sermon on the Mount is what in verse 21 is called the will of my Father in heaven. He says, if you have not done the will of my Father in heaven, that's what's most important. He said, there's going to be a lot of people on that day who say to me, Lord, Lord. And they're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. There are going to be people that day that say, well, wait a minute, Lord, didn't we do certain things in your name? Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Haven't we done many wonders in your name? In your name, God, we did this for you. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, this is a very tough point for some people to swallow, myself included, because we can do a lot of things in the Lord's name. I could stand up here every Sunday in the Lord's name and teach to you and preach to you. But if I'm not preaching the will of God, then I am not doing what I should be. We can go out into this world. We can walk out of these doors in just a few moments and go live our lives. And we can do a lot of things in the name of the Lord. But if it is not the will of God, then what's it for? Now that's a scary thing. And I don't know what the Lord and what God is going to do and how He's going to judge certain people. But I don't think it takes very long to look out at different churches, at different religions, or different people, different groups. And that's why we need to do a foundation check as well, because I hope we don't fall into this category, and me spiritually, and my family as well, because we could if we're not careful. But it doesn't take long to look out and see a lot of people doing things in the name of the Lord, yet it's very far from the will of God. We have to check our foundation. What Jesus is saying here, therefore, I'm going to insert something. I'm going to take some words out of this verse and I'm going to insert something else. Therefore, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, I would liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. I'm not trying to change the Bible. I'm not trying to add or take away. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm trying to do is show you the context of what Jesus is talking about. What this whole Sermon on the Mount has been talking about. and he gets to the very end, and he says, therefore, I'm concluding this whole thing, whoever hears these sayings of mine, this is the will of God, this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to worship Him. We're not going to read the Sermon on the Mount, you're welcome for that, because we don't have a lot more time tonight. Well, let me summarize. Worship God. Treat other people kindly. Let your light shine. When you pray, pray to God. Don't pray to be seen by men. When you fast, fast. Don't fast to be seen by men. Don't do charitable deeds to be seen by men. If you're lacking in faith, talk to God. Ask, you will receive. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be open to you. Treat others the way you want to be treated. That's biblical. That's in there. We teach our children that. That's biblical. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, whoever does the will of God, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Our foundation has to be, it has to be, and I hope this is the one point you take from this morning, it has to be on the will of God. A home can only be spiritually successful when it is built upon God's Word. The home may look pretty, and I feel this is what we've done as a society. The home may look pretty to people looking at it on Facebook or Instagram. It may look pretty because we dress nice and we come and sit in a pew on a Sunday morning. Our families may look good. Our church may look great to people from the outside looking in. But if our foundation is not on the will of God, the house is worthless. Because when the winds and the waves and the floods came, mighty would be its fault. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you had a problem there. And Paul saw this problem. You had people there that were being baptized by Apollos, and some people following the teachings of Paul, or Cephas, which is Peter. And as these problems are going on, they say, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos. He makes one thing very clear, starting in verse 9, he says, we are all God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and others build on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other, pay attention to verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the foundation. There should be no other foundation. Gives us a warning in verse 10. Let each one take heed. Let each person be careful how he builds on. That's a warning. Be careful how you build the foundation of Jesus Christ. Put something on the back of your bulletin. It's a little different than what is normally there. Instead of filling the blank, I want you to do some thinking. I want you to do some speaking with your spouse and your family. Why don't you go home? Maybe it's in the car ride home. Maybe it's when the kids are in bed tonight. Maybe it's when they're taking a nap this afternoon. I want you to think about some of the foundational problems your family has. What needs to be fixed? Let's pray for them. Let's follow the call. The second thing on there is, what do you have to do as a team? As a family, or as an individual, to make sure that that foundation gets back to God. You fix that problem. Foundations can be fixed. Your foundation is cracked. It can be fixed. There are companies all around here that charge big bucks to come out and fix foundations. Some of you may have had that in your house before. And yet we have a Savior who will be our foundation. A perfect Savior who needs no fixing. And all He wants us to do is to come to Him and give our life. Repent of the sins that are there. I'm not saying give up those things of all that list. We love our spouse, we love our kids, our hobbies and our activities. Those are all good things and fine to have. What He wants us to do is say, those aren't what's important. The foundation as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3. There is no other foundation than Jesus Christ. I hope this helps you. I hope it can help your family. I hope it helps this church. Next week, I want to invite you to come and take a more home improvements. And the lesson is titled, When Families Disagree. We've all been there. Disagreements happen. But if our foundation is built on Jesus, what do we do when those disagreements come? I invite you back next week. If you're here this morning and you need to put your foundation on Jesus Christ, you need to give your life to Him under the waters of baptism. There's a moment to do that right here. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. But maybe you're here this morning and you have found your foundation that was built on Jesus. You're starting to turn it from. And fix it. We'll pray with you, we'll help you, we'll study with you, we'll do whatever we can to get you back building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. We can help you anyway. Come forward as we stand.